Chapter 19. The etherway was clearly visible now, dropping like a misshapen rock out of the sky toward its assigned landing pit. Standing in the protective shadow of the exit tunnel, Card watched its approach, stroking the grip of his blaster gently with his fingertips and trying to ignore the uneasiness still tickling the back of his mind. Mara was over 3 days late in bringing the freighter back from Abrogado. Not a particularly significant delay under normal conditions, but this trip had hardly qualified as normal. But there had been no other ships on her tail as she entered orbit, and she transmitted all the proper all-clear code signals to him as she dropped into the approach pattern. And aside from the incompetence of the controllers, who'd taken an inordinate amount of time to decide which pitch she was actually being assigned to, the landing itself had so far been completely routine. Card smiled wryly as he watched the ship come down. There had been times in the past 3 days when he'd thought about Mara's hatred of Luke Skywalker, and had wondered if she had decided to drop out of his life as mysteriously as she dropped into it. But it seemed now that his original reading of her had been correct. Mara Jade wasn't the sort of person who gave her loyalty easily, but once she'd made a decision, she stuck with it. If she ever ran out on him, she wouldn't do so in a stolen ship. Not stolen from him, anyway. The etherway was on its final approach now, rotating on its repulsor lifts to orient its hatchway toward the exit tunnel. Obviously, Card's reading of Han Solo had been correct, too. Even if the other hadn't been quite gullible enough to send a Mon Cal Star Cruiser out to murk her, he'd at least kept his promise to get the etherway out of impoundment. Apparently, all of Card's private worrying of the past 3 days had been for nothing. But the uneasiness was still there. With a hiss of back-release outgassing, the etherway settled to the stress-scored paving of the landing pit. His eyes on the closed hatchway, Card pulled his comlink from his belt and thumbed for his backup spotter.
Duncan, anything suspicious inside?
No thing.
The other's voice came back promptly.
Looks very quiet over there.
Card nodded.
All right. Keep out of sight, but stay alert.
He replaced the comlink in his belt. The etherway's landing ramp began to swing down, and he shifted his hand to grip on his blaster. If this was a trap, now would be the likely time to spring it. The hatchway opened, and Mara appeared. She glanced around the pit as she started down the ramp, spotting him immediately in his chosen shadow.
Card?
She called.
Welcome home, Mara,
he said, stepping out into the light.
You're a bit late.
I wound up making a little detour,
she said grimly, coming toward him.
That can happen,
he said, frowning. Her attention was still flitting around the pit, her face lined with a vague sort of tension.
Trouble?
He asked quietly.
I don't know,
she murmured.
I feel...
She never finished the sentence. At Card's belt, his comlink suddenly squawked, screeched briefly with the electronic stress of blanket jamming, and then went silent.
Come on,
Card snapped, drawing his blaster and spinning back toward the exit. At the far end of the tunnel, he could see shapes moving. Lifting his blaster, he fired toward them. The violent thunderclap of a sonic boom shattered the air around him, slamming hard against his head and nearly toppling him to the ground. He glanced up, ears ringing. Just as two slower-moving TIE fighters swooped past overhead, laying down a spitting pattern of laser fire at the mouth of the exit tunnel. The paving erupted into steaming blocks of half-molten ceramic under the assault, blocking any chance of quick escape in that direction. Card snapped off a reflexive, if meaningless, shot toward the TIE fighters, and he was just beginning to shift his aim back toward the figures in the tunnel when a dozen stormtroopers suddenly leaped into view at the upper rim of the landing pit, sliding down drop lines to the ground.
Down!
He snapped at Mara, his voice hardly audible to his paralyzed sense of hearing. He dived for the ground, hitting awkwardly on his left arm and bringing his blaster to bear on the nearest stormtrooper. He fired, missing by half a meter. And he was just noticing the curious fact that the Imperials weren't returning fire when the blaster was deftly plucked from his hand. He rolled half over, looking up at Mara with stunned disbelief.
What?
She was standing over him, her face so pinched with emotion he could hardly recognize it, her lips moving with words he couldn't hear. But he didn't really need any explanation. Strangely, He felt no anger at her, not for concealing her imperial past from him all this time, nor for now returning to her origins. Only chagrin that he'd been fooled so easily and so thoroughly, and a strange regret that he had lost such a skilled associate. The stormtroopers hauled him to his feet and moved him roughly toward a dropship that was settling onto the paving beside the etherway. And as he stumbled toward it, a stray thought occurred to him. He was betrayed and captured, and probably facing death. But at least he now had a partial answer to the mystery of why Mara wanted to kill Luke Skywalker. Mara glared at the Grand Admiral, her hands curled into fists, her body trembling with rage.
8 days, Thrawn, she snarled,
her voice echoing oddly through the background noises of the Chimera's vast shuttle bay.
You said 8 days! You promised me 8 days!
Thrawn gazed back with a polite calmness that made her long to burn him down where he stood.
I changed my mind, he said coolly. It occurred to me that Card might not only refuse to divulge the Katana fleet's location, but might even abandon you here for suggesting that he make such a deal with us.
The gates of hell you did, Mara snapped back. You plan to use me like this right from the start.
And it got us what we wanted, the red-eyed freak said smoothly. That's all that matters.
Deep within Mara, something snapped. Ignoring the armed stormtrooper standing just behind her, she threw herself at Thrawn, fingers hooking like a hunting bird's talons for his throat, and came to an abrupt, bone-wrenching stop as Thrawn's Nogri bodyguard sidled in from 2 meters away, threw his arm across her neck and shoulder, and spun her around and halfway to the deck. She grabbed at the iron-hard arm across her throat, simultaneously throwing her right elbow back toward his torso. But the blow missed, and even as she shifted to a two-handed grip on his arm, white spots began to flicker in her vision. His forearm was pressing solidly against her carotid artery, threatening her with unconsciousness. There wasn't anything to be gained by blacking out. She relaxed her struggle, felt the pressure ease. Thrawn was still standing there, regarding her with amusement.
That was very unprofessional of you, Emperor's Hand, he chided.
Mara glared at him and lashed out again, this time with the Force. Thrawn frowned slightly, fingers moving across his neck as if trying to brush away an intangible cobweb. Mara leaned into her tenuous grip on his throat, and he brushed again at his neck before understanding came.
All right, that's enough, he said,
his voice noticeably altered, his tone starting to get angry.
Stop it, or Luke will have to hurt you.
Mara ignored the order, digging in as hard as she could. Thrawn gazed unblinkingly back at her, his throat muscles moving as he fought against the grip. Mara clenched her teeth, waiting for the order or hand movement that would signal permission for the Nogri to choke her, or for the stormtroopers to burn her down. But Thrawn remained silent and unmoving, and a minute later, gasping for breath, Mara had to concede defeat.
I trust you've learned the limits of your small powers,
Thrawn said coldly, fingering his throat. But at least he didn't sound amused anymore.
A little trick the Emperor taught you.
He taught me a great many tricks,
Mara bit out, ignoring the throbbing in her temples.
How to deal with traitors was one of them.
Thrawn's glowing eyes glittered.
Have a care, Jade, he said softly. I rule the Empire now. Not some long-dead emperor. Certainly not you. The only treason is defiance of my orders. I'm willing to let you come back to your rightful place in the Empire, as first officer, perhaps, of one of the Katana dreadnoughts. But any further outburst like this one, and that offer will be summarily withdrawn.
And then you'll kill me, I suppose,
Mara growled.
My Empire isn't in the habit of wasting valuable resources, the other countered. You'd be given instead to Master Sabaoth as a little bonus gift. And I suspect you would soon wish I'd had you executed.
Mara stared at him, an involuntary shiver running up her back.
Who's Sabaoth?
Joris Sabaoth is a mad Jedi Master, Thrawn told her darkly. He's consented to help our war effort in exchange for Jedi to mold into whatever twisted image he chooses. Your friend Skywalker has already walked into his web. His sister, Organa Solo, we hope to deliver soon. His face hardened. I would genuinely hate for you to have to join them. Mara took a deep breath.
I understand, she said, forcing out the words. You've made your point. It won't happen again.
He eyed her a moment, then nodded. Apology accepted, he said. Release her, Rook. Now, do I take it you wish to rejoin the Empire? The Nogri let go of her neck, reluctantly, Mara thought, and took a short step away.
What about the rest of Card's people? She asked.
As we agreed, they're free to go about their business. I've already cancelled all Imperial search and detention orders concerning them, and Captain Pelion is at this moment calling off the bounty hunters.
And Card himself?
Thrawn studied her face. He'll remain aboard until he tells me where the Katana fleet is. If he does so with a minimum of wasted time and effort on our part, he'll receive the $3 million in compensation which you and I agreed on at Endor. If not, there may not be much left of him to pay compensation to. Mara felt her lip twitch. He wasn't bluffing, either. She'd seen what a full-bore Imperial interrogation could do.
May I talk with him?
She asked.
Why? I might be able to persuade him to cooperate.
Thrawn smiled slightly. Or could at least assure him that you did not in fact betray him.
He'll still be locked in your detention block,
Mara reminded him, forcing her voice to stay calm.
There's no reason for him not to know the truth.
Thrawn lifted his eyebrows. On the contrary, he said, a sense of utter abandonment is one of the more useful psychological tools available to us. A few days with only thoughts of that sort to relieve the monotony may convince him to cooperate without harsher treatment.
Thrawn!
Mara broke off, strangling back the sudden flash of anger. That's better, the Grand Admiral approved, his eyes steady on her face. Especially considering that the alternative is for me to turn him directly over to an interrogator droid. Is that what you want?
No, Admiral,
she said, feeling herself slump a little.
I just... Card helped me when I had nowhere else to go.
I understand your feelings, Thrawn said, his face hardening again. But they have no place here. Mixed loyalties are a luxury no officer of the Imperial fleet can afford. Certainly not if she wishes someday to be given a command of her own. Mara drew herself up again to her full height.
Yes, sir. It won't happen again.
I trust not. Thrawn glanced past her shoulder and nodded. With a rustle of movement, her stormtrooper escort began to withdraw. The deck officer's station is just beneath the control tower, he said, gesturing to the large transparasteel bubble nestled in among the racked TIE fighters 3/4 of the way up the hangar bay's back wall. He'll assign you a shuttle and pilot to take you back to the surface. It was clearly a dismissal.
Yes, Admiral,
Mara said, stepping past him. She headed toward the door he'd indicated. For a moment, she could feel his eyes on her, then heard the faint sound of his footsteps as he turned away toward the lift cluster beyond the starboard blast doors. Yes, the Grand Admiral had made his point, but it wasn't exactly the one he intended to make. With that single casual act of betrayal, he had finally destroyed her last wistful hope that the new Empire might someday measure up to the one that Luke Skywalker had destroyed out from under her. The Empire she'd once been proud to serve was gone. Forever. It was a painful revelation, and a costly one. It could erase in one stroke everything she'd worked so hard to build up for herself over the last year. It could also cost Card his life. And if it did, he would die believing that she had deliberately betrayed him to Thrawn. The thought twisted in her stomach like a heated knife, mixing with her bitter anger toward Thrawn for lying to her, and her shame at her own gullibility in trusting him in the first place. No matter how she looked at it,
This mess was her fault. It was up to her to fix it. Beside the door to the deck officer's office was the huge archway that led from the hangar bay proper into the service and prep areas behind it. Mara threw a glance over her shoulder as she walked and spotted Thrawn stepping into one of the turbo lifts, his tame Nogri at his side. Her stormtrooper escort, too, had disappeared, its members probably returning to their private section aft for debriefing over the mission they'd just completed. There were 20 or 30 other people in the bay, but none of them seemed to be paying any particular attention to her. It was probably the only chance she would ever get. With her ear cocked for the shout or the blaster shot that would mean she'd been noticed, she bypassed the deck officer's office and stepped past the retracted blast doors into the prep area. There was a computer terminal just inside the archway, built against the wall where it would be accessible to both the forward prep area and the aft hangar bay. Its location made it an obvious target for unauthorized access, and as a consequence, it would undoubtedly be protected by an elaborate entry code. Probably changed hourly, if she knew Thrawn. But what even a Grand Admiral might not know was that the Emperor had had a private back door installed into the main computer of every Star Destroyer. It had been his guarantee. First during his consolidation of power, and then during the upheaval of rebellion, that no commander could ever lock him out of his own ships. Not him, and not his top agents. Mara keyed in the backdoor entry code, permitting herself a tight smile as she did so. Thrawn could consider her a glorified courier if he liked, but she knew better. The code clicked, and she was in. She called up a directory, trying to suppress the creepy awareness that she might already have brought the stormtroopers down on top of her. The backdoor code was hardwired into the system and impossible to eliminate, but if Thrawn suspected its existence, he might well have set a flag to trigger an alarm if it was ever used. And if he had, it would take far more than another show of humble loyalty to keep her out of trouble. No stormtroopers had appeared by the time the directory came up. She keyed for the detention section and ran her eye down the listing, wishing fleetingly that she had an R2 astromech droid like Skywalker's to help cut through all of it. Even if Thrawn had missed the backdoor code, he would certainly have alerted the deck officer to expect her. If someone in the control tower noticed she was overdue and sent someone out to look for her... There it was. An updated prisoner list. She keyed for it, pulling up a diagram of the entire detention block while she was at it. A duty roster was next, with attention paid to the shift changes. Then back to the daily orders, and a list of the Chimera's projected course and destinations for the next 6 days. Thrawn had implied he would be waiting a few days before beginning a formal interrogation, letting boredom and tension and Card's own imagination wear down his resistance. Mara could only hope she could get back before that softening up period was over. A drop of sweat trickled down her spine as she cleared the display. And now came the really painful part. She'd run through the logic a dozen times while walking across the hangar bay deck, and each time had been forced to the same odious answer. Card would almost certainly have had a backup spotter watching the Etherway's approach, who would have had a front row view of the stormtrooper's trap. If Mara now returned free and clear from the Chimera, she would never be able to convince Card's people that she hadn't betrayed him to the Imperials. She'd be lucky, in fact, if they didn't burn her down on sight. She couldn't rescue Card alone. She couldn't expect any help from his organization, which left only one person in the galaxy she might be able to enlist. Only one person who might possibly feel he owed Card something. Clenching her teeth, she keyed for the current location of a Jedi Master named Joris Sapioth. It seemed to take the computer an inordinate amount of time to dig out the information, and the skin on Mara's back was starting to crawl by the time the machine finally spat it out. She caught the planet's name, Jomark, and keyed off, doing what she could to bury the fact that this interaction had ever taken place. Already she'd pushed her timing way too close to the wire, and if they caught her here on a computer she shouldn't have been able to access at all, she was likely to find herself in the cell next to Card's. She barely made it. She'd just finished her cleanup and started back toward the archway when a young officer and three troopers came striding through from the hangar bay, their eyes and weapons clearly ready for trouble. One of the troopers spotted her, muttered something to the officer. "Excuse me," Mara called as all four turned to her. "Can you tell me where I can find the deck officer?"
"I'm the deck officer," the officer said,
scowling at her as the group came to a halt in front of her. You Mara Jade?
Yes,
Mara said, putting on her best unconcerned, innocent expression. I was told your office was over here somewhere, but I couldn't find it.
It's on the other side of the wall,
the officer growled. Brushing past her, he stepped to the terminal she'd just left.
Were you fiddling with this?
He asked, tapping a few keys.
No,
Mara assured him.
Why? Never mind. It's still locked down,
the officer muttered under his breath. For a moment, he looked around the area, as if searching for some other reason Mara might have wanted to be back here. But there was nothing, and almost reluctantly, he brought his attention back to her again.
I've got orders to give you transport down to the planet.
I know, she nodded.
I'm ready.
The shuttle lifted and turned and headed off into the sky. Standing by the Etherway's ramp, the stink of burned paving still thick in the air, Mara watched the Imperial craft disappear over the top of the landing pit.
Aves, she called. Come on, Aves, you gotta be here somewhere.
Turn around and put your hands up,
the voice came from the shadows inside the ship's hatchway.
All the way up. And don't forget, I know about that little sleeve gun of yours.
The Imperials have it now,
Mara said as she turned her back to him and raised her hands.
And I'm not here for a fight. I came for help.
You want help? Go to your new friends upstairs,
Aves retorted.
Or maybe they were always your friends, huh?
He was goading her, Mara knew, pushing for a chance to vent his own anger and frustration in an argument or gun battle.
I didn't betray him, Aves, she said. I got picked up by the Imperials and blew them a smoke ring that I thought would buy us enough time to get out. It didn't.
I don't believe you,
Abe said flatly. There was a muffled clank of boot on metal as he came cautiously down the ramp.
No, you believe me,
Mara shook her head.
You wouldn't have come here if you didn't.
She felt a breath of air on the back of her neck as he stepped close behind her.
Don't move,
he ordered. Reaching carefully to her left arm, he pulled the sleeve down to reveal the empty holster. He checked her other sleeve, then ran a hand down each side of her body.
All right, turn around, he said, stepping back again.
She did so. He was standing a meter away from her, his face tight, his blaster pointed at her stomach.
Turn the question around, Aves, she suggested. If I betrayed Card to the Imperials, why would I come back here? Especially alone.
Maybe you needed to get something from the Etherway, he countered harshly. Or maybe it's just a trick to try to round up the rest of us.
Mara braced herself.
If you really believe that,
she said quietly,
you might as well go ahead and shoot. I can't get Card out of there without your help.
For a long minute, Aves stood there in silence. Mara watched his face, trying to ignore the white-knuckled hand holding the blaster.
The others won't help you, you know,
he said.
Half of them think you've been manipulating Card from the minute you joined up. Most of the rest figured you for the type who switches loyalties twice a year, anyway.
Mara grimaced.
That was true, once,
she admitted.
Not anymore.
You got any way to prove that?
Yeah, by getting Card out,
Mara retorted.
Look, I haven't got time to talk. You gonna help or shoot?
He hesitated for a handful of heartbeats. Then almost reluctantly, he lowered the blaster until it was pointed at the ground.
I'm probably scribing my own death mark,
he growled.
What do you need?
For starters, a ship,
Mara said, silently letting out a breath she hadn't realized she'd been holding.
Something smaller and faster than the Etherway. One of those three boosted skip-ray blast boats we brought in from Vagrin would do nicely. I'll also need one of those Islamari we've been carrying around on the wild card, preferably on a nutrient frame that's portable.
Aves frowned.
What do you want with an Islamir?
I'm going to talk to a Jedi,
she said briefly.
I need a guarantee he'll listen.
Aves studied her a moment, then shrugged.
I suppose I really don't want to know. What else?
Mara shook her head.
That's it.
His eyes narrowed.
That's it?
That's it. How soon can you get them to me?
Aves pursed his lips thoughtfully.
Let's say an hour, he said. That big swamp about 50 kilometers north of the city. You know it?
Mara nodded.
There's a soggy sort of island near the eastern edge.
Right. You bring the Aetherway to the island, and we'll do the switch there.
He glanced up at the freighter towering over him.
If you think it's safe to move it.
It should be for now, Mara said.
Thrawn told me he'd lifted all the search and detention orders for the rest of the group.
But you'd better disappear anyway after I go. He'll have the whole fleet screaming down your necks again if and when I get Card out. Better run a fine edge scan on the Aetherway before you take it anywhere. Though, there has to be a homing beacon aboard for Thrawn to have gotten the jump on me the way he did.
She felt her lip twitch.
And knowing Thrawn, he's probably got someone tailing me too. I'll have to get rid of him before I leave the planet.
I can give you a hand with that, Aves said grimly. We're disappearing anyway, right?
Right.
Mara paused, trying to think if there was anything else she needed to tell him.
I guess that's it. Let's get going.
Right.
Aves hesitated.
I still don't know whose side you're on, Mara. If you're on ours, good luck.
She nodded, feeling a hard lump settle into her throat.
Thanks.
Two hours later, she was strapped into the skipper's cockpit, a strange and unpleasant sense of déjà vu burning through her as she drove toward deep space. It had been in a ship just like this one that she'd screamed off into the sky over the Murker Forest a few weeks ago, in hot pursuit of an escaped prisoner. Now, like a twisted repeat of history, she once again found herself chasing after Luke Skywalker. Only this time, she wasn't trying to kill or capture him. This time, she was going to plead for his help.